Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from the New Testament book of Romans, the 14th chapter. Paul writes this to us. "Except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows him to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We remain seated for our song.
Everyone needs compassion. Love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. God is mighty to save, he is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're saved for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're saved for the glory of the risen King. is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light in, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light in, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
This time in our service, I invite you to stand as we take a moment to hear from our Lord's Gospel. Let's stand. This morning, our gospel reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. This will serve as a basis for our message today. Matthew records this for us. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We remain standing for our song.
That grace appears.
Congregation may be seated. Over the years, I've found this to be true, and maybe you have as well, that one of the hardest things to give away freely in life is just this: forgiveness. Maybe you've had that experience in life, and maybe there's something within that that you're processing through today. Maybe that's something that's happened several years ago, several months ago, several weeks ago, or maybe even several moments ago. This morning, I'd like to ask you an honest question. And you don't have to answer it out loud, but I'd like you to answer it in your heart and your mind this morning, especially with me before our Lord. The question is just this: what has defined forgiveness for you the most? In other words, what is it that has painted you a picture of this thing called forgiveness? For us as Christians, we have a really beautiful template through Jesus Christ. But it happens every so often, and I come across this sometimes in my emails or my phone calls or my visits or my conversations with others, especially with Christians. Some other template has been adopted into their life to the point where it doesn't look so much like the template Christ has given to us, his church. Maybe it's a template that's been offered for us by somebody else. For example, in counseling and such situations, we find that each one of us inherits some kind of emotional family heritage from our family. So in other words, something was modeled for you and for me by our family, by our parents, and by their parents. And that has to do with a number of areas. For example, how finances are used, how we view things like faith. And forgiveness is no exception. And I find so oftentimes in these conversations that somehow, some way, some other template or design for forgiveness has been adopted that doesn't look anything like the brand or the template God gives to us in Jesus Christ. In our parable today, in our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, Jesus paints us a picture of forgiveness, what it is, but also what it's not. Matthew sets it up for us like this in verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Seems like a pretty fair question, doesn't it? And maybe you've asked that same question too, in a relationship, in your wheelhouse of life. How many times do I need to forgive this person? How many times do I need to go and say, "Okay, I forgive you," but then something else happens, and I need to do it again, and again, and again? What I hear Peter saying in some ways, and maybe you do too, is just this: Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't. So give me that magic number and give me permission to cut this relationship off. See, I think we can hear that this morning within Peter's question. So Jesus, if the magic number is 10, boy, I'm coming close to 10. And when I hit 10, boy, you've just given me the verbal nod to say, "Okay, you've done it enough. Go ahead and walk away." But this is how Jesus responds. Verse 22, Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So in other words, stop counting. He launches into this parable for Peter, the disciples, and for us. And we know that a big part of his answer is for us today, because near the bottom of his parable, when he says the word "you," it's not just to Peter. The word there is plural, meaning more than one person, meaning more than one disciple, meaning the church, us. He sets it up like this. There's a king who's settling up debts with his servants or the people who have collected, but now it's time to pay back. And to the one he comes across and he says, "Buddy, I hate to break it to you, but the ledger here, it's reading more than you can pay back." Verse 24, we hear this. Matthew shares with us Jesus' words. The servant owed the king 10,000 talents, or in other words, lots of dough. Picture Scrooge McDuck, swimming pool full of money, debt. If you don't know what that is, talk to our spiritual care guys. Millions and millions of dollars. Let me ask you this. How would you respond with a debt that you just couldn't pay back? How would you respond if you knew that there was some kind of outstanding debt that you could never, ever pay back? How would you respond? So the king comes to the guy and says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have you work this off. We're going to put you into a place similar to jail, but you're going to get to work it off, and some of that work is going to come back to me. So you're going to start chipping away at this. But this is how the man responds in verse 26. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay everything back. Here's my question to you. Is this realistic? I mean, think before about the pile of cash that he owes the king, how much his debt really is. Millions and millions of dollars. Is this reasonable to expect him to pay that back? By today's standards, this would equate to more than one lifetime to pay back. So the answer is just this. There is no way this servant will ever be able to pay this debt off unless somebody does for him what he can never do for himself. This is how the master responds. Verse 27. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So it wasn't like this. It wasn't like, okay, buddy, it's not looking too good for you. Here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to put you on the payment plan. We're going to have all these installments, and don't ask me how many. Just trust me, it's a lot. And then we're going to tack on interest to that. That's not what he said, and that's not what he did. What I see and what I hear, I hope and pray you see and you hear as well, that this king, out of a place of unfathomable grace and mercy and forgiveness, took the ledger, ripped it up, and said, I don't hold this against you anymore. Now here's the question, friends. How will the forgiven respond when given the opportunity to do the same thing? How will the person who's just been forgiven a ridiculous debt, how will that person go out and do likewise? Will they do likewise? Jesus shares this in verse 28. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, seized him, began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him. This sounds familiar. Fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused. And he went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Now, if I do a 5-second rewind, it seems to me that the king canceled his entire debt, millions and millions of dollars. And now here's this guy who has the opportunity to pay it forward, to forgive, to cancel the debt, which maybe a couple months worth, a wallet full of change. And how does he treat him? We know, don't we? This is how the king responds. Verse 32. Then the master called the servant in. He's heard the word on the street. It's gotten around. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. I don't know about you, but over the years, as I've landed on that last verse, verse 35, I start to squirm in my seat a little bit. And maybe you're there this morning. Because there's this part of Jesus' ministry where he doesn't pull any punches. And he shares the truth, but he does so in love. And I love you too much today to not share this with you, because there's part of this teaching of Jesus that we see echoing throughout Scripture, especially in Matthew's gospel account. Look at what Jesus says a little bit earlier in chapter 6. Bless you. This comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and so on. Matthew chapters 5 to 7. This is what he says, verses 14 to 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Here's my question to you. And I can't answer this for you. I can't put myself in your seat. I guess I could this morning, but that'd be kind of awkward, so we won't do that. But here's my question to you. And this isn't coming from Pastor Seth. This is coming from your Savior and mine, Jesus Christ. If we're unwilling to forgive, should we expect the Father to forgive us? Based on what we heard Jesus just say, what's the answer? No, see, Jesus actually... It's like he actually believes this thing called forgiveness. It's like when he actually shares it with people, he actually means it. That there's something restorative about this thing called forgiveness. And you and I, as recipients and also distributors, we have the power to break a relationship. We also have the power to heal it. What great responsibility God has given to us. The Lord's Prayer. How many of you have heard this before? If you haven't, stayed tuned, we're going to do it in a little bit. If you're like me, it's one of these prayers that we so oftentimes gloss over. You know, we can kind of go on autopilot and blah, 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 blah. Amen. I mean, isn't that kind of what we do sometimes? Let's be honest, it is. But there's this part nestled in the Lord's Prayer, and it's also in that same area of Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus is given this template of prayer, and this is what he comes to in verse 12. And we're going to ask this in a little bit. And I'd like you to join me in approaching the Lord's Prayer with a new and a fresh perspective this morning. And I'd like for you to experience through the Holy Spirit today and the Word new meaning to this template of forgiveness as Jesus gives it to us. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So in other words, God, forgive me the same way I've been forgiving or not forgiving other people. Do you hear that? So the last several years, that has really, really landed. And boy, that is really, really tough. Because if I rewind the tapes, I have not been living out Jesus' brand of forgiveness. In fact, what I do is this. I do forgiveness, or I don't do forgiveness a certain way, but then I come to worship, or I come in my personal devotional time, and I say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. And what I hear the Lord saying is, all right, Seth, not you, this Seth. What I hear is Seth over there, Seth Lehman, good guy, I love him. What I hear him saying is just this. Okay, well, Seth, you've asked me to forgive you, okay, but know this. I'm going to forgive you in the same manner or way you've been forgiving or not forgiving over here. Are you ready for it? Let me think. Can I get back to you on that one? How much time do I have? Do you see that? See, Christ loves you enough to tell you the truth, that he takes this thing called forgiveness very, very seriously. And he wants others to know more about the love and the forgiveness of God for you in Jesus Christ through those relationships and conversations and those moments that are hard. And if we're honest this morning, aren't those situations hard when it comes to forgiveness? You don't have to nod your head, but maybe just nod in your heart if you're with me. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things in life to give away, isn't it? Sometimes... I hear this, I'll forgive when I'm ready. That person has done so much damage in my life, I'll forgive them when I'm ready. Or maybe it happens like this. I forgive you, but I'm going to passively, aggressively punish you and hold a grudge against you until I feel like I'm ready. But that's not God's definition or design for forgiveness. How many math majors do we have up here? Or here? Yeah? What's that little symbol, that little weird symbol that looks like a TV antenna? What does that mean in math equations and so on? Does not equal. So let's read this together. Forgiveness does not equal emotional readiness. We can do better than that. Come on. Forgiveness does not equal emotional readiness. It's not the same thing. Now, you and I both know that there are things that happen in life, conversations, moments, situations, and so on, seasons of life that really test that. And sometimes things leave scars. And maybe you got some scars. Thanks be to God, there are opportunities to explore that and talk about that and unpack that through Christian counseling situations and contexts. But once again, friends, hear this. Forgiveness does not equal emotional readiness. How do we know? And what's our template for true forgiveness? It's Jesus Christ. See, what I hear in God's word in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 is just this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Would you say this next part with me? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't like God said, Seth, you know, I'll forgive you when I'm ready. I'll forgive you when you're good enough. I'll forgive you when the hurt has just passed. Seems to me that Jesus Christ gave up his life for you and for me on the cross when we were still getting it wrong. See, that's forgiveness. Forgiveness is just that. It's this release. It's this taking of the ledger and saying, I rip it up and I don't tape it back together and put it in your face. It's gone. And that's what Jesus does for you and for me, and that's what he calls upon from his church. This is one of the earmarks of the church, friends, and I pray this is one of the earmarks of Praise Lutheran, that we're able to adopt this brand of forgiveness. And we see just this, a Christian's faith-guided response to what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. This morning, is there room in your life, in your conversations, and in your moments for that brand of forgiveness? Let's pray. Father,